The Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEN.
Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM. But alongside Ryan Davis, I'm your host, Dawson Peril. We got a great show planned this evening. Of course, we'll be sitting down with the head coach for the boys basketball, Coach Ballard. But a special guest will be Coach Richmond, head coach for football, along with the strength coach. Oh, and Ryan, you got to sit down with some golfers. So that'll be coming up here in a few minutes. But starting us off, Ryan and I will just unpack the last couple weeks for Arabian basketball. Of course, we couldn't do that coaches show last Monday due to President's Day. So we got about three games to unpack here. Starting off, that was Tuesday the 14th, so 2 weeks ago, Open Knights went over to Newcastle for their last conference game of the season. They were hoping to get that first conference win. They were winless up to that point, but unfortunately Newcastle just shot the basketball too well. Arabians couldn't say the same. They lost that one 59-41. They finished the year winless in the conference, which is definitely a downer for Pendleton Heights. But fast forward to Friday, the February 17th, so 2 weeks ago on Friday, that would have been against Shenandoah. And Pendleton Heights, a huge win for Pendleton Heights. Of course, a much-needed win. They won that one 64-43. Shenandoah, obviously not the best squad, a very small school, but still a tough team. And Pendleton Heights deal with them, had a great night. That, of course, being Josiah Gustin tying his career high with 25 points. Shot 91% from the field, 100% for adjusted field goal percentage. The only shot he missed on the entire night was a buzzer beater there at the end of one of the quarters. So phenomenal night for Josiah Gustin, one of the best we've seen from him, not only this season, but for his high school career. But finishing off our recap, of course, you got last Tuesday, so February the 21st, just about a week ago, Pendleton Heights was here at home for their senior night, where they unfortunately lost a very close one at Pendleton against Eastern Hancock, 61-57. I mean, everything was there. It was a great environment. There was a great turnout. It was a great game, really. Arabian stuck with them, but unfortunately, couldn't pull away with the win. But what, Ryan, you couldn't call that game with me, but you were still there in the stands watching it. What did you really take out of that one that the Arabians could really focus on going forward?
I mean, it was a really hard-fought game for the Arabians. I feel like they did a lot of good things. They out-rebounded Eastern Hancock. I mean, they couldn't really do a whole lot more on defense. I mean, only having six turnovers against Eastern Hancock, only taking up six turnovers, just, I mean, really wasn't the best defensive night. But offense, it was a really big offensive game.
Yeah, taking a look now at the stats of that one. That was last Tuesday, again, against Eastern Hancock. Taking a look at the Arabian stats, leading them in scoring, that was Evan Mazingo. He had 16 on the night. Josiah Gustin had 14. Aaron Cookson with 9. Dontrez, Isaac Wilson with 7 apiece. Brian Knitz with 4. And that'll do it for the Arabians. So, I mean, Pendleton Heights, that you mentioned there, Ryan, in that game against Eastern Hancock, they had a great battle. It was really back and forth, but they really never got that extra push, that extra step to take that lead. They only had a numerous, there was only a couple lead changes in that entire game, although it being so close, and a lot of that reason goes to Eastern Hancock. Of course, there was Edrick Miller. Miller had a great night for the Royals. He was 3-for-4 from behind the arc, 3-for-4 from inside the arc, for a total of 6-of-8 from the field. So great night from Edrick Miller, sorry about that, and Eastern Hancock. But again, Pendleton Heights, I mean, there was a great show out. You had a great environment, a great game. Senior night, obviously no seniors on the actual varsity roster, but both of the managers for Pendleton Heights being seniors, so it wasn't entirely empty for a senior night. They got to recognize some cheerleaders as well. So still a very night to remember. But again, Pendleton Heights just couldn't pull out the win. But looking back a bit more now on those previous nights, I'm going to focus more on that Shenandoah game. Again, that was a Pendleton Heights win, a huge win. It broke their cold streak, which we've seen so many throughout the season. And just taking a look at that one, more specifically, you look at just the stats for Pendleton Heights. You got to mention Josiah Gustin. He was there with 25 points. Just a phenomenal game for Josiah Gustin. I was mentioning 91% from the field. Josiah Gustin really showed that he is a top caliber player, a top caliber center throughout this entire roster. He also posted up a double-double on top of that. So Josiah Gustin just phenomenal night against the Shenandoah Raiders. And just as a team, I mean, the team as total shot very well from the field. But Rabians had a great night against Shenandoah. You look back even further from then on the Tuesday, February 14th, on that Newcastle game. Pendleton Heights couldn't pull away with that one. Again, as I was mentioning there earlier, it was their last conference game, their last Hoosier Heritage matchup of the year. And unfortunately for the Arabians, you couldn't pull away with it. And a lot of that reason was Newcastle was getting every single shot to fall, at least it seemed like that. They shot 49% from the field, which isn't phenomenal, but still, just looking based on Pendleton, they only shot 36%, so it was definitely a large difference there. And Pendleton Heights, I mean, they're doing, I guess you could say, quoting Coach Ballard here, they were doing a wonderful job of pretty much everything. On defense, they got several stops in a row. They had a couple great chances at making that comeback, but unfortunately they just couldn't seem to get the ball in the basket. They did everything right except putting that ball in the basket. Just a cold night for the Arabians that got them their fourth loss. But taking a look at those three games, Ryan, I mean, you got one win, two losses. Probably the one that hurt the most was senior night. Of course, it was a great environment. You really wanted to win that one. But what would you say, just looking back on those three games, what Pendleton Heights may have done better, maybe what they need to work on heading into that sectional game, of course, being tomorrow?
I feel like one of the biggest things is try to give it to Josiah Gustin. In that Shenandoah game, he just looked so dominant. I mean, they didn't really have a whole lot of people to guard Josiah and his height and his build. I mean, Josiah was just pulling up from three, just hitting every shot. As you said, the only miss he had was a buzzer beater in that game. He just looked really good in that game. I mean, I feel like the main thing is try to get it down low. I feel like play the inside and out other than the outside and in. I mean, if you have to, you give the ball maybe to Evan Mazingo, Aaron Cookin. We have a lot of pretty good shooters on this team. I feel like that's one of the biggest things. Just slow down the offense, take control of the pace of the play.
Yeah, and then you look once again at that Eastern Hancock game. I mean, Eastern Hancock 18-6. They're second in their conference. They're a great team, although being more 3A, 2A, not sure exactly which one, but not as big as Pendleton when it comes to size-wise. So although it was favored in Eastern Hancock, I think Pendleton Heights put on a good show, and that's what they've been doing this entire year. I think you look back on those games, especially during that Christmas time against Heritage Christian Anderson, which was just after the Christmas break. I mean, Anderson is one of the top 25 teams in the state. Sure, they've taken a couple losses here and there. Of course, they had that Kokomo loss just about a week back, which is a very highly anticipated matchup. Anderson sold out their gym before the tickets even opened, so obviously that was a highly anticipated. They lost that one, but Anderson, a great team. You look at Pendleton Heights, they faced them twice, one in the regular season matchup, that was the game opener, and then later on in the season at Anderson for the Madison County Tournament, and both of those games were pretty good. That second one going into overtime, so Pendleton Heights has shown that they have the capability, they have the ability at this plain and simple, that to go into overtime and put these games in close matches against Heritage Christian. You look at Miles Colvin, that four-star Purdue commit. You look at some of that other supporting cast for Heritage Christian. They're a very good team, just edging out of that top 25, at least based on that John Harrell AP poll. And they're a great team, and Pendleton Heights, again, win to overtime with them. So Pendleton Heights has proven time and time again that they are a threat, and I think at that sectional draw, of course, that has already happened a while back. Again, if you don't know, Pendleton Heights drew Richmond. They'll be playing them tomorrow. We'll be talking about that a ton, obviously, here as we sit down with Coach Wells' assistant. But Pendleton Heights, I mean, everyone in the sectional was scared to draw Pendleton Heights. I think that was plain and simple. You look at Mount Vernon, they lost to Mount Vernon just by a basket, a possession game for that. You look at that Anderson game, again, as I just mentioned, that new pal Greenfield Central weren't really that same caliber. They lost those two pretty big, but I think Pendleton Heights has proven that they can stick with some of the best. But with that being said, we will take a short break. When we return, I got to sit down with Coach Richmond, the strength coach here at Pendleton Heights, to discuss what the strength program is all about, also discuss a bit about the football offseason. That'll be coming up next on the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Citizens State Bank. Citizens State Bank offers personal and business banking loans and investing services. Citizens State Bank has hours Monday through Saturday with a 24-hour drive-up ATM located at 129 South Pendleton Avenue and online at mycsbin.com. Are you ready?
Let's go. Turn it up.
Have you ever wanted to listen to 91.7 WEEM on your phone but don't have internet connection?
Try out our new app. It's called 91.7 WEEM.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Joe, 91.7 WEEM, a quick change of plan. Here's what we joined here now by Coach Wells in just a few minutes, walking up as we speak. But unfortunately, Coach Bowdoz is just mentioning cannot make it. So instead, we'll be joined here by assistant coach, Coach Wells for Pendleton Heights. Oh, excuse me, not Coach Wells. Sorry about that. Assistant coach for Pendleton Heights. Here on the Arabian, so as he was just coming up here, obviously you look at next Tuesday for Pendleton Heights, that'll be coming up, but here he is joining us in just a few seconds. So, Coach, thanks for joining us. We are on air here. So, you look back, just recapping this last couple of weeks for Pendleton Heights basketball. Of course, we didn't have a coach's show last Monday, so we got about three games to unpack that all the way back to that Newcastle game. But the first game I want to focus here, that Shenandoah 2 weeks ago Tuesday. Obviously, a great game for you all, a much-needed win that last Tuesday. And Josiah Gustin, a big name for that win. 25 points, shot 91% from the field, only missed one shot. So what did you really see from him? What have you really seen from Josiah Gustin and his development from his first year all the way to now?
Yeah, so, you know, Joe, he's a kid that we've been asking to get to the rim and use his body and use his size for a long time now. And I think ever since the HSE game, you've seen a change in Joe. And so he's using his physicality, he's using his body real well. And you saw that against the Shenandoah team who didn't really have a guy who could match up with him.
Yeah, and you guys, and looking more on that Eastern Hancock game, that last Tuesday, sadly, you guys couldn't pull away with the win that senior night. It was a great turnout for the fans, a very close matchup, really back and forth. But yet again, as I was just mentioning, you couldn't pull away with the win. But what did you see from your team in that game? What do you think they can improve on going forward?
Eastern Hancock's a great team. They have a lot of senior depth, especially the twin guards and everything. We were able to get them into some foul trouble, so that helped us a little bit. But, you know, you saw a little more composure. You saw some fight. We hit some shots to stay into the game. And then, you know, Dontrez Braxton hit a nice shot over in the corner to tie the game up and just really gave us a chance to win the game. It got away from us a little bit. I forget the stats. I want to say they hit a few more free throws than we did, and that was probably really what it came down to.
So you guys had a total of 10 turnovers in all, but Easton Hancock only had six. So how much of that game was more offense than defense?
You know, Eastern Hancock going into it, if you look at their yearly stats, they only average six turnovers a game. So that's something they do really well as a team. For us, that's been a little bit of a struggle all year, you know, from a turnover standpoint. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of times bad offense can lead to, you know, points for the other team. But at the same time, you know, 10 turnovers isn't the end of the world. You'd like to clean that up a little bit. But, you know, what do you guys have the stats on that? What's the free throw differential end up being on
that?
So they ended up being, we were 7 of 14 and they were 17 of 23. So yeah. I really think that's where that game came down to.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, they were really down to the wire there for that Eastern Hancock game. As I was talking about in that previous segment with Ryan, it was really back and forth, but you guys could really never get that leading, that couple big stops to gather that lead, only a couple lead changes throughout the game. So when it comes to really just when you're down by just a few points down the stretch and it comes to just dialing in, what have you seen from your team? What do you think they can improve on really heading into those sectional matchups where there's sure going to be a couple of close games?
So, yeah, I mean, when you look at Richmond, who we have tomorrow night, they're going to bring a ton of pressure at us all 32 minutes. And so just really when you talk about getting dialed in is just handling that pressure and executing, right? So if we draw something up out of a timeout, going and executing it and winning the timeout, you know, not having that loose ball turnover or whatever it is.
Yeah, and then focusing a bit more on that Eastern Hancock game, Evan Mazingo led scoring with the team for 16. Evan Mazingo, of course, a great three-point shooter, has been since game one against Anderson, but really what you coaches have been focusing on is developing him to become an all-around threat, really becoming very dangerous off the dribble, driving to the basket, becoming more of a physical player, which personally I have seen so much improvement on his end of those things. So what? How much difference does he make from any point on the floor whenever he's on the court?
Well, you know, he stretches any defense, right? They got to run at him, so if he can give them a good shot fake and they're running real hard, he has enough skill work to get to the rim and finish high. He's a good athlete, so he can get up and finish over some guys as well. So I think Evan's done a really good job in his first year at Pendleton Heights of, one, carrying us as the shooter, but also answering the call when we've asked him to get to the rim and be a little more aggressive as well.
Yeah, and one stat I mentioned to Coach Ballard in that postgame interview on that Eastern Hancock loss, good stat you can point out for you guys, only allowed 4 assists, and also in that Shenandoah game you only allowed 3, so your team has done a very good job with that zone defense and not allowing the opponent to really move the ball, allowing them to becoming really two-dimensional, uncomfortable on all ends. So when it comes to your defensive side of things, of course that zone has been very effective. What have you seen from your team? What do you think they can improve on?
So we talk a lot in practice about being there on the catch, right? And so when we allow guys to have 2 or 3 steps on us before we're closing out on them, you know, they can hit shots or they can shot fake us and get to the rim. So with that zone, we're doing a real good job on the weak side on reversals. The wings are getting up and they're there on the catch, so that way our guards up high can bump them down. So there's not really any time for those guys to catch and shoot or to get us really out of position.
Yeah, and one thing about this team, more physically wise, you look at their height, not the tallest team, especially at those guard spots, Isaac Wilson, but you got a couple big guys, of course, Josiah Gustin, you have to mention in that group. But one thing in that Eastern Hancock game, you definitely won that battle down low, not only winning the total rebounding column, but also that offensive rebound. Eastern Hancock is a team that averages around that double-digit mark for offensive rebounds. You held them to only 5, so what have you seen from your team down low when it comes to really grit down low, grabbing in those offensive boards, but not only that, maybe on the defensive side of things, offensive side of things, just becoming more of a physical team?
So I think that we have a lot of tough guards, right? We may not be real tall at that position, but they're all real tough. You know, you talk about Isaac, Aaron Cookston, Dontrez Braxton, they're all willing to do, you know, what it takes to get a good block out and go get the rebound. So at the end of the day, you know, when you got 5 guys who are willing to block out and go get a rebound, you can eliminate some of those offensive rebounds that good rebounding teams can get.
Yeah, another thing to mention for you guys in that Eastern Hancock battle, you also did another great thing you did on defense. 13 of her 23 held them. That was their field goal percentage. Eastern Hancock, a team, a generally good team that can shoot it from all 3 levels. You did struggle defending that behind the arc. They shot just under 50%. Not where necessarily you want to be at, but still a very good shooting night for Eastern Hancock. But obviously it was a great turnout, as I was mentioning there. You saw a lot of fans for the student section. Saw a lot of parents coming out. So although it was a loss, what did you really see from that Pendleton fan base? What do you think that says about the culture here?
Well, it's great. You know, we haven't had a ton of winning seasons in a row or anything like that. So as a fan, you know, you want your teams to win and you want to come out and watch an exciting game. And so when you look at our scores, even though we have more losses than wins, a lot of our games are within single digits this year. You know, we've had a few that got away from us, but it's great to see on senior night those student sections and all those fans come out. And, you know, like I said earlier, when Dontrez hit that shot in the corner, I mean, it was probably as loud as it had been all year. So we love the fans. We want them to keep coming. And we're hoping to make that turn around the corner so they got something good to come and watch.
All right, but with that being said, we'll take a quick break. When we return, we'll be joined here once again by Coach. But you're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Detour Salon and Style. Detour Salon and Style provides women, men, and children haircuts, special occasions, spa days, gift certificates, float tank therapy, massage therapy, permanent makeup, lash extensions, signature facials, IPL laser therapy, red carpet facials and treatments, teeth bleaching, hair removal, and more. On Facebook or at DetourSalonAndStyle.com. Detour Salon and Style, 1816 East 53rd Street in Anderson, 765-400-5323 or at DetourSalonAndStyle.com.
Governor Holcomb, I love how high school sports teach the importance of the journey.
I couldn't agree more, Commissioner Neidig. Before any measure of success is achieved, like making a winning play or earning a state championship, student-athletes go on an essential journey that humbles and teaches them every step of the way.
The lessons learned along the journey of high school sports are about so much more than just the game. Student-athletes learn how to persevere through adversity, never give up, and to get better every day.
This second classroom teaches the skills, behaviors, and attitudes student-athletes need to be successful on the playing field and in life.
There's no better training ground for today's teens on their way to becoming tomorrow's leaders. Support the vital work of education-based athletics by buying a ticket to your high school's athletic events.
This is keeping education in front of athletics. This is the journey of high school sports. This is your IHSAA.
The ASN Coaches Show on 917
WEEM. Welcome back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 917 WEEM. But if you're just joining us alongside Ryan Davis, I'm Dawson Peril. With a quick change of plans here, we're joined instead of Coach Ballard, head coach for Arabians, instead assistant coach, Coach McAtee. But looking ahead, Coach, obviously to that tomorrow game, huge game for you guys. Win or go home, Richmond, that'll be at Muncie Central, tip-off 7 p.m. But what if you're coaching staff, what has your team been working on this past week in practice preparing for that first round of sectionals?
Just handling their pressure. You know, they press off of a miss, they press off of a make. They press into their half-court defense if they don't get you trapped in the full-court press. So we got to handle that. We've done a ton of stuff where we're handling that pressure. We've added some guys to where it's a little bit unfair to kind of prepare the five guys that are on the floor to handle that pressure.
Yeah, and as you mentioned there, those Red Devils love that half-court, full-court press, like to go back and forth with that. And in part of that, they really average quite a bit of steals, over 11 a night, many of those coming due to that half-court, full-court type of press. So how do you plan to really beat that? What have you coaches have been talking about in the scouting room?
We got to sit down. We got to be strong. We got to face the traps, give them some good ball fakes, make good decisions, and just stay patient. So at the end of the day, you know, traps and pressure get you because you panic. And so we've just trying to really been teaching that face, you know, turn and face them, sit down, be strong, chin the ball, make a good fake, make a good pass, and then let's attack it on the other end once we break it.
Yeah, and Richmond is the only team in the sectional you haven't faced yet. And based on standings, isn't the worst matchup in the first round could have drawn. But what would you say you guys want your players to go in with? What mentality do you want them to have? Still keeping that pressure, knowing that this is win or go home, but still maintaining that emotion, maintaining that poise.
Well, I think anytime you get into sectional, it's probably the most important part and the most exciting part. You know, you've been building this from basically till your season ended last year, right? So everything you do in the spring, everything you do in the summer and the fall leads up to this point. So for me, I'm ready to fast forward to 7 o'clock tomorrow night, right? Yeah. I'm super excited to get there. I've been waiting the whole year to get there. So you just tell them to understand that we've prepared you. Relax, but at the same time, you got to attack someone who's trying to attack you. You can't sit back on your heels. You can't let them get into you too much. So take advantage of their aggressiveness, make one hard pass, and get to the rim.
So, and for Richmond, on the offensive side of the ball, they're a team that likes to attack at all three levels. So with that in mind, how do you hope to make it a tough on the Red Devils on offense?
So I think when you look at them, they got some really good players. They got some size. They got some athletic ability. They got a couple kids who can shoot it. So I don't think you can look at them and say, hey, we're going to zone them. They can't shoot. Or, hey, they're shooters, so we're just going to get out on them and force them to get to the rim, right? You got to respect them on all three levels. And so for us, it, you know, whatever we choose to do, we got to make sure that we're solid. We got to understand the scouting report and make sure we're not running at guys that aren't going to shoot it. And make sure that we do run at guys that can shoot it. You know, stay in front of the guys that like to get to the rim and just stay together, connected, right? Communicate on the defensive end and then get the first rebound and go.
So another thing about the Red Devils that they're very aggressive on getting those rebounds, hauling in an average of 8.5 offensive rebounds a game, which is among the highest in the sectional. What will it take? To beat down low, even more physical than Richmond, and not allow them to get a second chance opportunity?
So five guys got a rebound, right? We can't be leaking out. We can't be running down the floor if we don't have the basketball yet, right? And so if you're on the floor, when a shot goes up, if you're not hitting someone, right, you're not doing something right. So I think the answer to that is all five guys got to hit, and then after we hit, we all got to go attack the basketball, right? Don't wait for someone to go get it. Attack the ball and go get it.
Yeah, now one big advantage that Richmond holds heading into tomorrow's game is the size. With only three players being below 6 feet, they stand at around an average of 6'2". So how are you hoping to deal with that size difference?
You know, we got some matchups that we can look at. I know Josiah Gustin's always a good matchup for us, right? We can kind of stick him on a guard. We can stick him on a big and kind of trust him to guard everyone. I know, you know, we're probably a little shorter at the guard level. But those guys are so tough that a lot of times I don't worry about that stuff a whole lot. But as far as matchups and knowing where guys are at, we just got to, once again, follow that scouting report, get out on the guys who we need to get out on, and stay in front of the guys who we need to stay in front of.
Yeah, and although you really want to take it one game at a time, if you win tomorrow, you will go on to face against the top-seeded New Pal Dragons on Friday, and you lost to New Pal earlier this season at the middle school. That was about midway through the year. So say you win tomorrow, what will it take to continue that run and pull off the upset against New Pal?
Well, New Pal's a good team, right? What'd they end up, 20-2 on the season? Yeah. So, you know, no one's going to go into that game thinking, you know, we're going to run these guys out of the gym or something, right? They're going to be tough. They're senior-led. They got some good sophomores and stuff, too. But if we're going to go and compete with New Pal, we got to be tough, right? We got to make sure we get the first rebound. We got to stick our chest in front of the guys that are getting to the rim. And then at the end of the day, we got to handle their pressure, too. You know, we can't turn the ball over, like we mentioned earlier, where we're averaging a little over 11 or so turnovers, you know. They don't turn the ball over. They have really good guards who take care of it. And so we got to make sure that we don't lose that turnover battle most.
Yeah, and then if you look more at the Arabians themselves, one player don't really point out too much, Isaac Wilson. As I was mentioning earlier, some of these sectional matchups guaranteed to go down to the last wire. We see it so much. Both teams really want to win. It's almost guaranteed to be a last one possession play. So Isaac Wilson has really been your guy to go to in those close opportunities. He's got a lot of poise, great emotion, great job at really just keeping himself in check. Of course, that he's quarterback of the football team, really knows what it's all about. When it comes to game on the line, your eyes are on. You look back to that buzzer beater, but you could say game winner a couple weeks back. So what have you seen from Isaac Wilson, from his attitude, and how do you hope to see him continuing more on the finishing off this year and heading into his senior year?
So Isaac's a kid that doesn't really get rattled too much. You mentioned he's a quarterback, you know, so he's kind of got to know what everyone's doing on the floor at the same time, right? And so with him, it's nice because he's not really scared of the moment, right? But on the other side, when the other coaches are drawing in the timeout, they're thinking about, we got to stop Evan Mazingo, right? We can't let him get a shot. And so when we can stick Isaac in there and he's not scared to do that, right, we can decoy Evan or whatever, and then we can get Isaac a good look. And then, like you said, he's hit it twice this year for us so far, you know?
All right, but with that being said, that is all the time we have. Once again, Coach, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, we'll take a quick break. When we return, Ryan and I will look ahead for the next week of Arabian Sports, look ahead to that sectional matchup, what the Arabians need to do, look at Richmond, what type of team there are, but that'll be coming up next on the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM.
Thanks, guys.
91.7 WEEM. I'm Ryan Davis. Joining me is Cohen Gray and Sam Denny of the Pendleton Heights varsity golf team. So as the season is coming up, what have you guys been doing to get ready for the season?
For me, it's just been off-season golf and simulator because it's cold outside. There's not many courses open. And I've just been trying to dial in some irons and trying to start off as best I can.
Yeah, like he said, go to the simulator. That's about all you can do when it's winter in Indiana. But, you know, start every day I start with the wedges, work my way up through the irons and the long irons. And then Tuesday I actually go up to MD's driving range up in Muncie. And there I can hit driver and actually see the ball flight. But, yeah, like he said, it's mainly focusing on getting the irons dialed in, wedges dialed in, hopefully get off to a fast start when the season rolls around.
So, Cohen, you have a brother on the team. How much does that help with playing with one of your brothers in the same sport?
It's definitely fun. It definitely helps a lot. It kind of brings that competitive edge. I don't want him to beat me. You know, I want to beat him every chance I get. And when he does beat me, you know, I'm never going to hear the end of it. He always likes to rub that one in. So, you know, just having a brother to, you know, get better with, compete with, it definitely pushes you. You know, he pushes me, I push him, so that we can both be the best we can be. And it definitely helps push us both forward in preparing for the season.
So what does a normal day of in-season practice look like?
In-season practice, some people take a little bit longer to get there, and we probably start practice around 3 o'clock, but it's really just get there as soon as you can, and we just go out and play. It's mandatory to play 9 holes, but most people say I have to play 18. We just chip and putt for a little bit after, just try to get better.
Yeah, like he said, play 9 holes. Sometimes we'll get a little game mixed in there, a little team format, something like that, something fun. To keep it competitive, but also lighten the mood up a little bit. And then after we get done with 9 holes, a lot of times we'll stay around the putting green, chip and putt for 30 minutes to an hour. A lot of times we play a game called sevens. You can do it chipping or putting. We usually do it chipping. It's basically like we'll take a group of 3 to 5 guys and we'll all pick a spot and chip to the same flag from the same spot. Whoever gets it closest gets a point. If you chip it in, you get 2 points, and you just played a 7. So, again, that just helps sharpen up the short game, but also brings that competitive fun to practice.
So a lot of athletes in different sports are very superstitious in the game. So are you guys superstitious in any way during matches?
Yeah. I mean, we both are. But I'll let him talk about his. But if I hit a bad shot or have a bad hole with a ball or something, that ball is never going to see the light of day again. It's going to go in the bottom of the bag or in the woods or something.
Yeah, like he said, bad shot, bad hole, the golf ball. That ball is, for me, it's probably in the water. But, you know, it's not just with the golf ball. You know, if I play a bad round wearing a pair of shorts, you know, that shorts ain't going to be worn for the rest of the season. It's a different pair of shorts. Got like 3 or 4 different pairs of black shorts to choose from, so play bad in one of them, you know, they aren't going to be worn again. It's kind of the same thing with socks, too. Keep track of the socks I wear for all the matches, too. So, you know, just very superstitious.
Yeah, also pullovers. Can't never wear the same pullover if you play bad.
Yeah. I had a little coach asked us what we want to wear for invitationals on Saturdays. If we want to wear green, white, black shorts, gray shorts. You know, that superstition and kind of has it. Plays a part in that decision too. If I play bad in white one weekend, it's going to be green the next weekend and vice versa. So,
yeah, so Cohen, this is your senior year and you're the lone senior this year on the team. So do you have an idea of what you're going to do after this year?
I've got a little bit of an idea. As far as schooling goes and education, I definitely want to go to college, plan to study pre-med, and going to optometry, so being an eye doctor, that's something I've kind of really taken interest in within the last year or so. As far as where yet, not really sure. You know, I hope to play golf. Got a few coaches talking to me right now, so definitely hope to play golf in college, but not quite sure where yet.
So for Friday practices, for the boys varsity team, you guys do go for practice rounds and whatever whatever course you guys are going to play that Saturday. So how does that help going into those Saturday matches?
Playing Friday, wherever we're going to have that Saturday match at, it really actually helps because we get to see the course if we haven't played before. And, I mean, it's also more fun because it's just five or six of us out on the course, and so it's actually more competitive. But I just think it's more fun at courses we don't play every day.
Yeah, like he said, that's definitely more fun playing courses we don't play every day. That's fun just with us five or six, can relax, have fun, but it's also competitive. And it's also nice because, you know, a lot of times it's our first time at that course. So, you know, you get to walk around, see the good spots to miss, where you want to be, where you don't want to miss. You know, you definitely helps a lot getting a feel for the greens. You know, one of the hardest things can be showing up to a course for the first time and trying to get used to the greens. So having an extra day of preparation to get used to the greens, figure out, you know, where you want to be around the course, what spots to put you in, what clubs to hit, just stuff like that. It definitely helps a lot and kind of gives you an advantage going into the weekend.
Yeah, also to add on those Friday matches or practice rounds, we also get golf carts. So that's a little more fun to add on there.
Yeah, it's always fun. So what's your guys' favorite part about playing golf?
Favorite part about playing is just being out there with everybody. I mean, love being outside when it's warm out, and it's also something you can do for the rest of your life, so you're never going to, well, if you like it, you're never going to get tired of it, I guess.
Right. I'm a very social person, so like being out there with a group of guys, whether it's, you know, just a group of four, whether it's a group thing with all 12 of us on the team, just being out there socializing, is always something I enjoy. And then, like he said, like the super nice weather, like in the spring, summer, you can't beat that weather. I know, just playing the other day, it was finally nice enough to play. It was like 65 degrees, and just being outside, like, I don't know, it's just one of like the nicest, like most uplifting things, just kind of turns your whole day around. So like being outside, being with the guys, it's definitely fun.
So one last question here. So golf is one of the most mentally challenging sports there is. How difficult is it to stay in that mindset for an entire round?
It's pretty difficult, especially for me. I get a little mad out there, but in the end, you just got to forget about it and move on in the next hole, next round. Can't focus on the bad shots. Got to focus on what you do after the bad shots. That's what matters.
Yeah, I think both of us can attest to that. I'm the same way. I get a little mad out there, and it's hard to stay positive sometimes. You hit a couple of bad shots in a row. It's hard to forget about it because one shot in golf can be a big deal. But being able to bounce back, like you said, forget about it. You got to look to the next shot. You can't let one bad shot turn into four or five bad shots. You look at all of the good golfers out on tour, and they hit a bad shot. They're forgetting about it. They're focusing on the next shot. How are they going to hit this next shot better? How are they going to put themselves in a place where they can score and not let the bad shot get to them? So it's definitely hard, but it's definitely something you can get used to. And it's definitely something that if you can keep a positive attitude and keep the right mindset, it definitely helps a lot.
So that will do it for this segment of the ASN Coach Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I love this show.
Drink your cup of joe and listen to the Arabian Roundup with your hosts,
Kennedy Quinn and Bella Myers, every Tuesday through Friday from 5 to 7 a.m. Awesome. 91.7 WEEM.
This presentation of the Arabian Sports Network is underwritten by Citizen State Bank. Citizen State Bank offers personal and business banking loans and investing services. Citizen State Bank has hours Monday through Saturday with a 24-hour drive-up ATM located at 129 South Pendleton Avenue and online at mycsbin.com.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM. But I'm Dawson Peril. I'm joined here now by strength coach along with the head football coach, Coach Richmond. But getting things underway here, as I just mentioned, you are the strength coach here at Pendleton Heights High School. But could you really just break down what that whole program looks like, not only during school hours itself with weight classes, but outside of school meetings?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I mean, we have 300-plus student-athletes in seven periods during the school day. You know, this program we started back in 2016 when the school hired me, and it's just built and grown over the course of those 7 years, and it's evolved. And you know, student athletes have done a tremendous job, and the coaches buying in. You know, it's really we have three priorities in class, and we try to live by. We want to keep the kids healthy, you know, injury prevention. We want to train them, you know, to be explosive and, you know, have better endurance and strength conditioning through a general athletic program, right? So it's good for all athletes. We're not trying to build mass. We're not powerlifting. We do Olympic lifts, but we're trying to get them stronger and faster and more agile so that they can be better at truly the things they really love, you know? And then lastly, we want to build unity and pride in our class. And anytime we're in the weight room, we're one team in there. And so while I wear multiple hats, you know, when I'm in there, I'm a teacher first, and the strength coach is a real priority to me. It's something I'm very passionate about. I'm part of state associations and had a, you know, a lot of training in this area and have really worked hard to give us a presence in the state strength coaches association and also the national. So really, really proud and humbled to be a part of leading this. And it's just grown. Coach Tom Huth does a great job at the middle school in an entry level middle school class. And then we do before school middle school training as well. So 3 days a week. And it's something that I can see helping. I can see it giving kids confidence every day. And in some capacities, it doesn't always add up to wins. You know, I mean, that's the frustrating part, right? With delayed gratification. I mean, you work really hard, you want to get what you want, but that doesn't always work out, you know? And so we're training these guys and girls, you know, mentally, emotionally, and physically to be the best they can be. And it's a awesome, awesome program.
Yeah, but as you mentioned there, not only do high schoolers get in there a lot, also junior high before school. So what impact does it really have on the future of Pendleton Heights sports?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's everything. You know, number one, unifying all programs, you know, in a same, you know, training program. And that doesn't mean that a softball girl might need a little something different here and there, or a swimmer or a football player. But at the same time, there's a general cohesion with our programming that all kids need, you know, and that's what we are, you know. And when kids go on from here, obviously they're maybe go on and play one particular sport, and they'll still do remnants of this training, the guts of it, so to speak, but then they might specialize in other or more exercises that speak specifically to what they do. But this is it's a trickle down method from college, you know, and most college programming is similar to what we're doing, you know, and that's what we want to really get them ready for. When I taught U.S. history prior to becoming a strength coach, you know, I always thought to myself, you know, when a kid gets in U.S. history 100 at IU, they better know the basics or I'm going to be embarrassed I didn't do my job. And I feel the same way in strength conditioning. I want these kids, when they go on, you know, Caitlin Goodwin going to Dayton to play softball, you know, I want her to be ready from a strength conditioning standpoint. So she's already beaten a couple girls out and she's not behind in strength conditioning. You know, Bryn Libler's a softball player that went on last year and killed it in our class, middle school and in high school, and just done an outstanding job in that way. And I could give many other examples, but those are two that pop in my head right off the bat.
Yeah, and as the winter sports season comes to a close with the last couple of sports finishing up, of course, you got basketball sectionals this Tuesday, but what does this winter sports season look like from the strength coach's perspective?
Sure. Well, I mean, a lot of growth. I mean, we're hitting our stride here. We're getting ready. Each quarter we test, you know, and it's one of those things that you can see the gains throughout the 9 weeks. And, you know, then you can also see them on the basketball court. Like I can see, you know, I can see us not getting pushed around in certain spots. And Coach Ballard, same way, girls basketball, especially, you know, Coach Rogers and I talk, and he's a big part of this as well. I mean, Coach Rogers, he's in throughout the day, you know, talking to all kids, helping all kids, and before school and things like that. So a lot of coaches have a lot of buy-in and a lot of support from Mr. Smith, our athletics director, and myself in that way. And so it's a very collegial and cohesive program. But I see it in the swim times. You know, Jack Todd is in class, and you know, the tapers happen at different times because of different sports. But by no means do I take credit, but definitely them being in class is really, really important, and definitely helps them.
Yeah, and this Pendleton Heights High School added a new weight room, along with the activity center a couple of years back. And although it was a decent while ago, well, how did that really impact the program? How does it keep on impacting the program?
Well, it helps from a safety standpoint, number one. You know, I can see all student athletes, you know, while they train because of the spacing in there. We have more room in the activity center. Classes are bigger, you know, and so with that, we can train more kids. And as our school grows, that's important, you know. And I mean, athletics is somewhat of, you know, a competitive race for facilities, right? I mean, and we're right there with everybody. You know, we have a great community, got a great training facility. We have coaches working hard, and kids. And that's the thing. I think our kids are second to none. So, we just got to keep working, building, step by step. And, you know, that's the process of the day by day that I talk about. The results are never guaranteed. But I definitely know what you'll get if you don't do that every day, you know, and studies and statistics show you're more injury prone, right? You're less competitive. You're going to be behind. I mean, this is the norm. I mean, and our conference alone has really set itself apart, at our level of schools in this way, and very, very competitive, in a lot of sports. It's a really awesome conference to be a part of right now, and we're right in the thick of things, in my opinion, and we just got to keep improving and getting better day by day.
Yeah, but as we get down here on the last few minutes of the interview, last few questions, as I mentioned, not only are you strength head coach, also the football head coach, so you guys are already meeting, getting in a couple days, so what does that really look like, those football meetings?
Yeah, so for us, you know, we have a year-round program, but at the same time, I'm a big advocate for playing multiple sports, and you know, we had 88 guys on our roster, 9 through 12 last year. 80 of, or, you know, this school year, 80 of those guys play at least two sports. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't always do things outside of football season for football. But we're very kid-friendly with that. That doesn't give them excuse not to commit and not to participate. Doesn't make it easy. And I'm not talking out of both sides of my mouth right now. The kids would tell you that, like, they want to win at football. They want to get better at football. At the same time, they want to play basketball. They want to wrestle. They want to run track. They want to play rugby. And so there's a lot of, and baseball, and there's a lot of kids that do those things. And I'm really, really proud of them that they do. And then they're able to balance, you know, the football demands too. And so, and, you know, we've got a very healthy culture as far as that goes. And, you know, academics, we had 5 academic All-State players this past season. We've had 31 academic All-State players since 2017. I mean, you know, we do year-round grade checks for these guys. And so there's no excuses, right? There's no excuses why you can't play multiple sports, play football at a high level, be a great student, and really benefit from all that Pendleton has to offer. And I'm just really proud of the boys that play for me, and I'm looking forward to this next year. We got a lot of really awesome kids coming back, and then really solid 8th grade class coming in, and you know, it's one of those things that coaches seem to say, but it's tradition doesn't graduate, right? And so the expectations of what we do and how we do it will continue to evolve and get better and better. And just proud to be the leader of this program.
All right, but with that being said, that is all the time we have. Once again, Coach Richmond, thanks so much for coming down.
Hey, thank you. Go Arabians.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we return, Ryan Davis got to sit down with some of the golfers here at Pendleton Heights High School for our next segment here in the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEN.
High school sports teach so much more than just the fundamentals of the game. They also teach the fundamentals of life.
like the power of belief. I'm Robert Falkins.
And I'm Carrie Rosati. We're both assistant commissioners of the IHSAA. In the second classroom of high school sports, student-athletes understand hard work pays off, and they learn to be proud of their effort, no matter the outcome.
Successful student-athletes support their teammates and learn to always do the right thing.
And most importantly, they learn to always believe in themselves.
When high school sports keep education in front of athletics, these fundamental beliefs outweigh the idea of winning at all costs.
That's why high school sports are a transformative and invaluable part of every student-athlete's education.
Buy a ticket to your high school's athletic events and show student-athletes that you'll always believe in them, too.
This is the power of belief. This is the power of high school sports. This is your IHSAA.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the IHSAA and the Indiana Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 917 WEM.
Welcome back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show here on 917 WEEM. But a change of plans here for our final segment. Ryan and I will recap all of winter sports as well as look ahead for the Arabian sports for our Arabian Roundup. But starting off here, most recent sport you could say that finished up was boys swimming, as junior Jacob Simpson had a great run in that playoff, in that postseason. Of course, on that regional matchup, you got to point out here, swimming does work a bit differently, so they really start off with sectional and go straight on to state. Definitely not as big as some of those other sports, but at that sectional matchup, the Arabians as a team finished fourth. They got a point total of 205, which again got them that fourth place finish. So great job as a team. For a team as a whole, for the Arabians, for the swimming, again, that is boys' side of things. But looking at, again, Jacob Simpson, he had a great night for that sectional matchup. He swam 100 butterfly. He seeded a 20th in the state, and the 100th backstroke. He seeded 16th. And then you got to mention there, of course, Jacob Simpson breaking the record for the for here at the school here for that 100 backstroke. He placed second on it, the podium finish, with a new school record time of 52 seconds in 50.57. Sorry about that. That last record was held in 2011. So Jacob Simpson, again, phenomenal job by him on that 100 backstroke, but that bought him a ticket to that state competition, that IHSSA state prelims. Technically, you do go to state, they call it, but it's really the prelims to go to the actual state. And the top 16 swimmers in all of the races would go on to go past the state prelims and go on to the event. Unfortunately for Jacob Simpson, just short of both of his events. 100 butterfly, he got 20th place, and then 100 backstroke got 22nd place. So great job by Jacob Simpson. Unfortunately, just couldn't quite get there, just about four places away. But Ryan, what did you see from him? What did you see, talented swimmer? What do you see from him?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really big achievement to beat the record in your race for your school. I mean, it's really big. It's going to be up there for a while until someone breaks it. I mean, it was up there for almost 12 years. Yep. Yeah, 12 years, over a decade. It's really big. It's going to be difficult to beat. I mean, it's really big to have your name on your high school swim.
Yeah, and then you look over to the other side of things with the girls' side of swimming. They finished off their season with an overall record of 9-2-1, and they finished off their season earlier, quite a bit earlier than the boys for swimming. Now, similar to basketball, so for the Arabians, they finished off third of 11 here at sectional. So they finished third place with a total of 242 points. Great job by the girls swimming and diving. Just placing above them, that was Hamilton Southeastern and Fisher. So their sectional matchup for the girls just so tough. I mean, you got Yorktown, Anderson, as I was mentioning, Fishers, Hamilton, Southeastern, LaPel, some very, very good schools. But you look at more of the races themselves, zooming in, starting off, you got the team that placed the highest here, that would have been podium finish for the 200 freestyle relay. That was a team of Mallory Gentry, Ailey Walters, Clara McIntyre, and Sophie Castor. They placed fourth. Then you look down a bit to the 400 freestyle relay, a team of Mallory Gentry, McIntyre, Stella Payne, and Sophie Castor. They placed third in the podium finish. So then both of those relays for the Arabians, both of them going to the podium finish. And again, Arabians finishing third overall in that sectional. So great job for the girls swimming. Looking over at our basketball side of things, as we've been talking about for quite a while, so it's been wrapped up by several weeks now. For girls basketball, they've been finished for about a month, nearing that mark. They ended their season very early in February. They got to sectional, obviously. They did get past first round. They had a great game against Greenfield Central. They beat them very easily, a score of a nearly 30-point game. So great job against Greenfield Central, but yet again, they just couldn't get past the Mount Vernon Marauders, losing to them in that second round of sectionals, and Mount Vernon eliminating the Lady Arabians 2 years in a row. It's got to hurt, but the Lady Arabians, you still have to look just towards them. They have a great program, some great future. Of course, Casey Warfel coming in, only a sophomore. She'll be a junior next season, and she's a great player. I mean, already one of the top in the conference. I predict wholeheartedly that by the time her senior year, she'll be one of the better players in the state. I mean, so talented there. You got Olivia Jones, only a freshman, started throughout the season. You are losing Whitney Warfel. You are losing Berkeley Shelton, but still a great season, a lot of future for the Lady Arabians. For the boys' side of basketball, their season is just about reaching that postseason mark. Of course, they have that first round of sectionals tomorrow. We can talk about it for this entire show. That'll be tomorrow at Muncie Central against the Richmond Red Devils, tip off 7 o'clock. So I would highly recommend going out there supporting the Arabians, as, of course, that is, they win or go home. But say they do beat the Richmond Red Devils tomorrow, they would go on to face New Pal. That game already decided, as New Pal got the first round bye. They finished on top of the sectional, went 22-2. So New Pal, obviously very, very good team. That'll be a very tough team to beat. So although you want to take it one game at a time, I asked this question to Coach, but I think you can't help but look towards New Pal, right? You can't. I mean, Richmond, sure, they're a great team. It's going to be tough to beat them, but New Pal, man, that'll be the upset. That'll be the one that you say, and if we're making a run, New Pal will probably be the hardest team we'll have to face. They lost to them earlier in the season. Again, top in the sectional. They're on top of the Hoosier Heritage. Greenfield Central just there with them, which is also in Pendleton Heights sectional. Pendleton is having one of the hardest sectionals. I just want to add on there. So I think that'll be a great competition there. But with that being said, Ryan, what do you think the Arabians will be working on? We talked about it a ton here, but what do you think they'll be working on into tomorrow's matchup? Of course, Richmond, they got the size advantage, very good on three levels. They like that full-court press, half-court press, which the Arabians have struggled with in the past. So I think this game is a lot of scouting. What do you think they've been working on this past week?
I feel like they've been really working on that full-court press, as you were talking about. I mean, all the times that I've watched the Arabians, when they struggle with that full court press, they really start to speed up pace of play, and they really just start making those not very good shots, the shots that just you're not very open, you really need to get a shot off, you really think you need to get that shot off, but you really don't, just try to slow down the offense. I feel like that's what Coach Ballard really was trying to emphasize in today's practice. I feel like that's one of the biggest things that's caused them turnovers in multiple games this year. I feel like also they need to work on turnovers, just regular, those simple turnovers. They've had a few of them in the past few games, which if you stop those, there's multiple turnovers, maybe points taken away. Maybe also trying to get to the line, try to draw those fouls was also a big thing in that Eastern Hancock game. We only had 7 free throws made, and they had 17. That's one of the biggest things.
Yeah, and then switching things over finally to the wrestling side of things, the final winter sport. Of course, Jackson Todd, a huge junior wrestler here at Pendleton Heights. He was the only wrestler that qualified for states. Jalen Covington, another junior, he made it to the semi-states, but unfortunately just couldn't quite qualify for a ticket to the state competitions. But for the other hand of things, Jackson Todd had a phenomenal state final performance, bought himself a ticket, got to sit at the very selective table of the state finalists from Pendleton to go on for wrestling. But unfortunately for Jackson, he was banged up. Of course, he had that injury midway through the season, was out for about a month, and then he re-aggravated it in that semi-state competition. So he didn't have much to, he couldn't really practice too much, wanted to rest, wanted to focus on resting a lot more. And then not only that, was facing a very, very tough competition with Wyatt Kreja from Center Grove. Wyatt went on to become the runner-up for the 145-pound tournament bracket for wrestling. So Jackson Todd, although you couldn't quite get too deep in the state finals, you had a tough draw. You faced a lot of adversity. So Jackson Todd, props off to you. Great season there. But with that being said, that will do it for our show here this evening. Once again, alongside Ryan Davis, I'm Dawson Peril. We hope you all enjoyed. But once again, you can catch the Arabian Sports Network up next. It'll be tomorrow night as the Arabians travel on out to Muncie Central Fieldhouse to face off against the Richmond Red Devils in the first round of sectionals. Once again, that tip-off is at 7 p.m. with the Arabian Sports Network pregame show starting 6:45. Thanks to all who tuned in this evening. We hope you enjoyed. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.